This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
So being content with life involves appreciating what you have and where you are in life, rather than wishing things were different. Ever met somebody like that, always wishing things were different? And you got to be careful, because you can find yourself complaining about life.
Men, it's our time to rise to another level at the 2020 Mentality Conference. Join us online September 11th and 12th for two power-packed days with three dynamic speakers.
When you find the will of God for your life, it's the greatest, most peaceful adventure.
You don't want to miss out on this revival of manhood. Mark your calendars and register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. It's time we live a new life. Let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Let's begin in Philippians chapter 4. In the King James Bible, verse 11 and 13. And I want to just lay this out line by line, precept by precept, so that you can really gain concept of walking in contentment and knowing the difference between contentment and discontentment. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Now, I'm going to look at Philippians 4 in the King James, and then I'm going to teach on this in the King James, then I'm going to look at it in the Amplified, then I'm going to look at it in the Message and the New Living Translation. Each one of those translations has something very special to share with us about being content. So here's what he says, verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." So Paul said he has learned to be content regardless of what state he was in. So contentment is something that can be learned. Contentment is something that every Christian needs to understand, that they can learn contentment. Verse 12. He says, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13. He says, but in the midst of all of those different states, all those different conditions, in the midst of all those different circumstances, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And, you know, learning to be content, he tells us what he learned in verse 13. "I have learned that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation. I've learned to be content because of what I know about Jesus. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Now, apparently here, what he learned is something that you and I need to learn. So let's back up a little bit and let's apply some definitions so that you can understand what it means to be content. I'm gonna define contentment according to some worldly dictionaries, and then we'll look at it from a biblical point. Now, to be content means to be satisfied or have a feeling of happiness, satisfied, feel happy. It's an ease of mind. Satisfied, feel happy, an ease of mind. Now, of course, I understand that a content person doesn't necessarily have to be happy, but, you know, the world sees contentment as I'm satisfied, I I'm happy and I have an ease of mind. Now, the mistake that a lot of people make is they think that contentment and complacency, they think that those two are the same, and they are not. You can be satisfied, but complacency means refusing to work to improve. When you're complacent, you're not interested in getting better. When you're complacent, you know, you're satisfied about being the same. No, contentment is you're satisfied while you're on your way to improvement. Contentment is you're satisfied and you have an ease of mind because you're on your way to another level. You're on your way to improvement. You're on your way to, you know, promotion. You're not going to stay the same. You can be satisfied and happy and have an ease of mind and continue to improve. But when you're complacent, you're not interested in improving. When you're complacent, you know, you're refusing to improve. You know how some spiritually deep Christians get, well, I'm just satisfied just where I am, just like I am. And then they say, well, that's contentment. No, that's complacency. You're refusing to improve. You're refusing to get better. When you're content, you are at ease and satisfied and can be happy because you know where you're on your way to. So as you are on your way somewhere, as you are on your way to a new level, as you are on your way to improvement, you're satisfied. But please don't mistake that with complacency. Complacent person is a person that refuses to improve and he refuses to go to the next level. There's a level in your life that God wants to get you to. There's a will and a calling in your life that God wants to get you to. But you've got to learn how to be, you know, satisfied and have a good attitude on your way to that promotion, on your way to that next level. So contentment is about being satisfied and at ease while you are improving, while you are getting better, while you are progressing to the next level. It's about having a good attitude about where you are while knowing you are on your way to another place and another level. If you understand that, say amen. Now, let's look at Philippians 4:11 in the Amplified Bible. Let's bring up another point. Philippians 4 and 11 in the Amplified Bible. Now, here's what he says. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned how to be content, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or disquieted. So he's talking about being satisfied to where he's not disturbed, stressed out, or disquieted in whatever state that I'm in. Verse 12. I know how to be abased and to live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned in any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. He says, I've learned the secret. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. That's the secret. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That's the secret. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's the secret. So what Paul is saying is, regardless of the circumstance, good or bad, the secret is to know that your sufficiency is in Christ. The secret is to know that you can find satisfaction in Christ. And so when you know that He's your supply house, that He's Jehovah Jireh in your life, to know this, what it says is, I can go through anything. I'm okay in any circumstance and situation, because at the end of the day, it's through Christ that I find my sufficiency. It's through Christ where I can do all things, through Christ which strengthens me. He says that's the secret. Now, It doesn't say in the Amplified, to the point where he says, it doesn't say satisfied to the point where you are, where you don't want to change. It doesn't say you're satisfied to the point where you don't want to change, but you're satisfied for now until God brings the change. See that? You're satisfied for right now until God brings the change. You know, there are lots of circumstances that come into your life where your job's concerned, where your relationships are concerned, where all kinds of things, but you can be satisfied in the middle of those things until God brings the change. So being content with life involves appreciating what you have and where you are in life, rather than wishing things were different. Have you met somebody like that, always wishing things were different? And you got to be careful, because you can find yourself complaining about life. But you got to learn how to be content with life. And being content with life involves appreciating what you have. It involves appreciating where you are in life, rather than always wishing that things were different. Now, in light of this understanding of contentment, I think the question should be, what then is, what's this, true contentment? I've given you the definition of contentment, but, you know, I'm always searching deep. I believe that the root to truth is in Christ. I believe the root to all truth is in the Word of God. You know, people look at our Bible and says that our Bible is a religious book, but I believe that every truth comes out of the Word of God. Every truth has come out of the mouth of God. And we're sitting in the world, you know, playing acrobat with the knowledge that the world offers. And if you don't ever understand the truth that comes from God, you're really not getting down to the root of the matter. And so what is true contentment? True contentment. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the only place that we can really find true contentment, the only place where we can find true fulfillment, watch this, is in Christ. It's in Christ. Oh, I know. Yeah, but Brother Dollar, I don't believe in Christ. So what am I going to do? No, we have a problem. We have a problem. You're never going to know what real fulfillment is about. You'll never find true fulfillment. You'll never find true contentment unless you find it in Christ. And maybe you have searched for it, and maybe you thought you found it in this or that or whatever, but it's only in Christ. Hear that. Those of you who are not born again, you're never going to know what true fulfillment is. You'll know, some comfort for some time, but you won't know what true fulfillment is, because true fulfillment can only be found in Christ. Look at this now in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Let's look at the NLT and the Message. It can only be found in Christ. This is something that's so amazing to me that, you know, I'll show you in a moment. Basically, we live in a world full of discontentment. Why? Because you're content for a moment with the car, and you're content for a moment with the new house, you're content for a moment with the money, but it doesn't last, because it's you cannot find true fulfillment in those things. And yet the world tries to convince you, and images try to convince you that you can, and you cannot. Let's look at this in these two translations. Not that I was ever in need, Paul said, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Verse 12, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, whether it's with plenty or little. Verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's what he learned. He learned, but here's my true fulfillment. I can do everything through Christ, which gives me strength. My fulfillment doesn't come with much. It doesn't come with little. I can do everything through Christ, which gives me strength. And look at the Message Bible. Only place you're going to find real contentment is in Christ. Now, the Message Bible says this, you just had no chance to show it. He said, actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I don't mean that your help didn't mean a lot to me. It did. It was a beautiful thing that you came alongside me in my troubles. Can't you see what Paul discovered here? Can't you see the recipe, he calls it here, the secret to real contentment? It's that confidence that we have in Christ. It's the only place where you can find real contentment. So for some of you who are still searching for contentment in a lot of areas of your life, here's what I got to say. Quit wasting time. It can only be found in Christ. Amen? Now, true contentment isn't something that we find in things, as I said. It's not something that we find in people. It's not something that we find in circumstances. It can only be discovered in our convictions. And my conviction is in the Word, and my conviction is in Christ. The Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our sense of contentment. Let me say that again. The Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our sense of contentment. And it was Paul's conviction that governed his sense of contentment. It wasn't his circumstances. It wasn't those things that he was involved in. True biblical contentment is a conviction that Christ's power, Christ's purpose, Christ's provision is sufficient for every circumstance. Man, that's powerful. True biblical contentment is a conviction that Christ's power, Christ's provision, and Christ's purpose, that it is sufficient for every circumstance that comes up in my life. Praise God. So we are to learn how to walk through all kinds of adversity, believing in and experiencing Christ's sufficiency. Walking through every kind of adversity, every kind of circumstances, believing in Christ's power and believing in His sufficiency. I'll look at this one more time, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10, you know, we gotta get convinced that my sufficiency is in Christ, that I'm sufficient in Him. And 2 Corinthians 12, 9, 10, he says, and He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Praise God. And how many of you know that grace is a person? His name is Jesus. Jesus is sufficient for me. My grace is sufficient for me. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Why? Because Christ is sufficient. Grace is sufficient for me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may what? May rest upon me. And verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches. Think of that. Paul said he takes pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? His sufficiency is not based on the circumstances. It's based on his conviction in Christ. Man, that's powerful. That's something I wish a lot of Christians could learn from the very beginning, that their sufficiency is based in Christ. So we have to choose to rest on God's good promises despite what may be going on in our lives. You have to make a choice. I'm going to rest on God's good promises, regardless of what's happening, regardless of, you know, sickness or disease, regardless of lack, regardless of anything, I'm going to rest in God's promises because, you know, that's the highest kind of faith. That's the highest kind of confidence. It's one thing for us to teach to you, you know, real contentment is only in Christ. But if you don't have any confidence in Christ, you don't have any confidence in what Christ has promised you. You see what I'm saying? And so you got to rest. You got to rest in the promises that Jesus has made available to us despite what's going on in your life. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 12. I want to start off in the King James. Now, this is pretty important here. I really want you to gain the context of what I'm about to show you. So listen carefully. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness plus contentment equals great gain. Verse 7, I'm going to read through 12. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So why are you looking for things that you didn't bring in the world and you can't carry out to be responsible for making you content? He says, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. Having food and clothes, let us therefore be content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, or trusting money, see, some people trust money for their contentment. He's addressing it here. For the love of money is the root of all evil. See, he brings right in the middle, right in this context, he's talking about contentment, starts off with godliness plus contentment is great gain. But then he warns you and he says, don't try to find contentment in money. The love of money, what is that? That's trusting money instead of trusting God. And he says, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee from these things. Flee from the things that the rest of the world finds satisfaction in, the rest of the world finds contentment in. And he says, and follow after righteousness, follow after godliness, follow after faith, follow after love, follow after patience and meekness. Verse 12. Then he says, fight the good fight of faith. You know what fighting the good fight of faith is? Fighting a good fight of faith means that you are going to maintain your stance on what Jesus has already done. You're going to maintain what Jesus obtained. The good fight of faith is when the circumstances try to get you to no longer trust in God. The good fight of faith is, I'm not content based on the circumstances. You can't move me from trusting God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and you can bring it on, but I'm going to be content. I'm going to be satisfied in my relationship in Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He said to hold on to that. Now, man, that's something powerful. Let's milk this a little bit. Now, I've come to realize that our world lives in a constant state of discontentment. Turn the news on. You constant state of discontentment. And we're not happy with, you know, people in the world, they're not happy with their wife, they're not happy with their husband, they're not happy with their children, they're not happy with their leaders, they're not happy with the things that they have, you know, the TV is too small. It's outdated. The cell phone doesn't have the latest 5G technology. So we live in a world that lives in a constant state of discontentment. And so how do we find contentment in such a restless world? Well, I already told you, you can only find it in Jesus. You can only find it in Christ. And I know when you know, Christian people won't have a problem with what I'm saying. But you go and you bring your unsaved uncle, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, you got a problem. That's the whole deal, man. The whole deal is that you came to the earth, you got a whole lifetime to figure out how to get connected with Jesus, or you die without him. And when you die without him, then the first thing you're going to realize when you're dead is that there is a Jesus. You missed the truth. And so we come to the point where we understand that that contentment, I find it when I find, when I get Jesus. When I get, I start to say I find it when I find Christ, but Christ isn't lost. We're the one that's lost. We didn't find Christ. He found us, praise God. Now, many of us are trying to fill a void of some kind in our lives, and unfortunately, we try to fill the void with things that can't really satisfy. We're constantly trying to fill the void with things that can't satisfy. You go buy the nicest car, it can't satisfy. You go buy the biggest house, it can't satisfy. You get the prettiest girl or the most handsome guy, it can't satisfy. There's a place in your heart that can only be satisfied by Jesus sitting on the throne of your life, and you keep sitting other things on the throne of your life, and they will never be able to bring you fulfillment, because only Jesus can bring fulfillment, and you have to invite him to sit on the throne of your life. We look to fill the void with possessions or money, but we only end up wanting more, and that's the issue. When you're not content, it'll move you to greed. If you're not content, you want more. You want more. And now, that, remember what I said, the difference between complacency and contentment, all right? So we try to fill that void with relationships. Some even try to fulfill that void with sex, but we end up feeling even more empty and depressed than when we started. And so when those things become the end goals, when the end goals become, you know, money and car and house and sex and abusing people in relationship, when that becomes the end goals and the reason for our being, then we end up discontent. We end up discontent. I mean, after you get the big house you always dreamed up, then what? After you get all the fame that you dreamed up, then what? After everybody knows your name, then what? After you won the Academy Award or whatever the awards is, then what? That's the thing. It's like, I know so many people who had their goals, they reached their goals, and they're suicidal. So that didn't get it. That didn't get it. I see so many people that say, oh, but if I was making this much money, then I'll be satisfied. And oh, if I lived in this house, I'd be satisfied. And oh, if I had this kind of wife, I'd be satisfied. Or oh, if I had this kind of family, then I'd be satisfied. And then they get it. They work real hard, and they've disregarded all of the people that love them on the way. And by the time they get to the top or get to the spot where they want to be, not only are they not satisfied, but there's no one there to share it with, because they've stepped on everybody on the way. And they're discontent, because in their life, that was the end result. That was the thing that they wanted to have in their life. And so it's sad. It's sad. Those things were never meant to bring you fulfillment. None of those things I just mentioned, they were never meant to bring you fulfillment. And somehow, mankind thinks that these things will bring fulfillment. They were never meant to. You got to understand, God, who designed the system, here's what he plugged into the equation. The only way a human will ever be fulfilled is in Christ. And a lot of folks don't want to hear that. But look at your life right now. Look at all the things you've worked hard for and you've earned. And look at all the money you got. And look at all the fame you got. And look at all the women you got. Or look at all the men you got. And look at all your business. And look at it. Just look at it. Whew. But you're still not fulfilled. And you'll die unfulfilled if you don't make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you don't make Christ the one that you find fulfillment in. Let's look at some scripture. And let's see what the Word has to say. Now, I've already looked at 2 Corinthians, but I want to look at 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 through the English Standard Version, the ESV. I want to show you something here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 through 10. I want to share about five scriptures with you, and let's just look biblically what the Word has got to say concerning this contentment only found in Christ. Here's what he said, verse 9 and 10. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you.'" Wow. Now, that's pretty cool, because being content on my way to the next level, grace will be sufficient for me. Grace will be sufficient for me. Jesus will be sufficient for me. Remember now, grace is a person. Jesus will be more than enough for me. Hallelujah. Jesus will be my source of contentment. "But he said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10. "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content." There it is. For the sake of Christ, I am content. With weaknesses, I am content. With insults, I am content. With hardships, I am content. With persecutions, I am content. With calamities, I am content. Why? For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because my contentment is not going to be based and found in the things that are going on. Not going to be based or found in whether I'm weak or strong, or insults or not insults, or whether folks are talking about me or not talking about me. That is not, I do not find my contentment in what people think about me or what they say about me. My contentment is in Christ, and that's what this Bible says, that I'm content with all of the other things that come. That's powerful. To know you can live in a discontent world surrounded by a bunch of people who are discontent and still be satisfied, still be happy, still have an ease of mind. And you've got to be careful now not to allow other people's circumstances to challenge you being satisfied and content. But even in the midst of horrific, egregious circumstances, I am content because I'm in Christ. That's a powerful thing to know. Look at Romans 12 and 12. Romans 12, 2 in the New Living Translation. Romans 12, 2 in the New Living Translation. Contentment in life, I believe, starts with renewing your mind. And I believe that contentment in life, if you want to get away from discontentment, you're going to have to think differently than the world. You're going to have to think differently from the world's way of thinking. If you start thinking like the world thinks, then you will absorb the discontentment that comes from that worldly way of thinking. But if you'll renew your mind and make sure you don't copy the world's way of thinking, but you absorb the Word of God and let it renew your mind, then what's going to happen is you're going to be set towards contentment, because you find your contentment in Word and in Christ. Look what he says here, verse 2. He says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world." Why? God knows it all leads to discontentment. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How am I going to be transformed into a new person? By changing the way you think. Change the way you think, be transformed into a new person. I meet people all the time who they want to become a new person. They want to become a better person, but they don't want to change their thinking. They want to allow their thinking to be lined up with the customs and the behavior of the world. And this world is a place filled with discontentment. So to think like them and then thus behave like them makes you, you're going to be putting yourself in a position where you're going to be discontent just like they are. How do I get out of the discontentment of the world? Hey, I'm going to allow God to transform me. I'm going to allow God to make me this new person by changing the way I think. And I'm going to allow Him to teach me how to think in line with His way, in line with His Word. And the Bible says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When will I know God's will for me, which is good and pleasing and perfect? When I renew my mind. When I stop copying the behavior and the patterned ways of thinking of the world. Yeah, I know the whole world just looks at me and other Christians and they think, well, those guys are crazy. Of course the devil wants people to think that. But I tell you one thing, people who do this thing that I'm preaching and people that renew their mind with the Word of God, they're new people today. They're new people today and they'll testify how they didn't believe and they'll testify how they were big atheists. And that's why the devil doesn't want you to understand the Word. That's why the devil will do anything to keep you away from the Word. He wants to discredit people like myself so that you don't pay any attention to what we say. And then you think, well, he's just a money-hungry preacher. All he wants is your money. All he wants is your money. That's even a lie. That whole phrase right there is just a lie from the devil. I mean, how come he don't have you saying all the grocery stores want is your money? How come he don't have you saying, you know, all the basketball teams want is your money? He don't have you saying that. Satan has a plan to try to stop you from hearing the truth that will bring you to Christ, the truth that will turn you into a new person, the truth that'll cause you to renew your mind so you can come into the will of God that is perfect, and that is the perfect will of God, that is pleasing. That's the pleasing will of God. That is good. That's the good will of God. Amen. Look at Proverbs 14 and 30 in the NLT. Proverbs 14 and 30 in the NLT. Discontentment and stress. Somebody says, well, what's wrong with discontentment? It'll rob you of health. But when you're in contentment, you'll have peace, and contentment will give life to the body. Did you know that? Your discontentment, living a life in discontentment, it robs you of health. It robs you of life. Look at the scripture here, verse 30. He says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Think of that. Now you know why I say if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. Because a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. He says, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Jealousy, that's discontentment. That's in the middle of circumstances, you're jealous. That's not going to be healthy to you. It's walking in contentment, walking in peace ministers health to the body. But walking in discontentment, walking in jealousy, walking in the flesh, it'll cause cancer in the bones. Man, that's powerful. I believe right now that the number one cause of cancer is discontentment and stress. There it is. I believe that the key to life is living a life of ease, a life of contentment, a life where you're satisfied whether things going good or things going bad. That's the key to a healthy life and a long life and a healthy body. I had the Lord just say this to me a few days ago. He said, son, you do well to pursue self-control as a gift and a life of ease and peace, for that is the key to long life and happiness and health. And I'm learning how to do that. I'm learning how not to trip out over everything. I'm learning how to laugh a lot. I'm learning how to, you know, well, whether this thing is good or whether it is bad, all is well. You know, when they first announced the pandemic, I'm like, you know, Lord, you know, it's up to you because I'm in you. I mean, at the end of the day, if the church closes and everything, I still have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what you got to understand. At the end of the day, if you lose your house, if you lose your car, if you lose everything, you're never going to lose Jesus. You still can have a relationship with Him. And that did something to me. All of a sudden, the care of the whole thing, I could roll it out over on the Lord. And that's what I'm wanting you to do right now, the situation you're in, man. Find contentment. Find contentment and divorce discontentment. Get it out of your life. Look at Job 36 and 11. Let's look at it in the NIV. Job 36 and 11. You know, I believe that serving God will allow you to have those years of contentment. I really do. I believe that serving God and being a follower of God will allow you to have those years of contentment. He says, if they obey and serve Him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity or success and their years in contentment. I just believe that that walk with God, that relationship with God, and I've come to the place in my life that when people ask me, you know, how things work, I tell them first base is a relationship with Jesus. First base is a relationship with Jesus. You're wanting me to give you the three steps to make that work. No. First base is relationship with Jesus. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you serve Him and you walk with Him, you're going to spend your days in prosperity and your years are going to be spent in contentment, praise God. God will speak to your heart and then you're willing to carry it out. God will tell you to go here and you'll go there. God will tell you to do this and you'll do that. You're cooperating with Him, man. You're walking in a place where you're saying, God, I give you the honor and the authority to speak into my life, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And as I live this way, and as I serve you because I want to serve you in praise and worship and doing whatever you want me to do, I want to be your hands in this earth. I want to do everything you tell me to do, Lord. He says, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in contentment. I want years in contentment. I want years in contentment. I do not want this side of my life on the other side of 50s to be stressful. That's not happening. I'm in peace. It'll be fine. I've been in the ministry almost 40 years, and I'm telling you right now, it'll be fine. It'll be just fine. It may not look like it right now, but it'll be just fine. And just live a life of contentment because I'm in Christ and all is well. Look at this last scripture in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23 in the NIV. Proverbs 19, 23 in NIV. You know, the fear of the Lord will cause us to rest in content. Walking in the fear of the Lord will cause us to rest in content. Proverbs 19, 23, he says, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rest content, untouched by trouble. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you're walking in reverence to God and respect to God. And I shared this morning that, you know, those that respect the Lord, you know, God says in the day of trouble, He will deliver them.
True contentment can only be found in Jesus Christ. In his brand new two-message series, What is True Contentment?, Creflo Dollar shares what makes contentment that is pleasing to God. Get your copy right now for your gift of just $15 or more.
After you get the big house you always dreamed up, then what? After you get all the fame that you dreamed up, then what? After everybody knows your name, then what? I do not find my contentment in what people think about me or what they say about me. My contentment is in Christ, and that's what this Bible says. That's powerful. To know you can live in a discontent world and still be satisfied.
Add the Radical Abiding in the Word mini book to make a combo today and get all of these transformative resources for your gift of $25 or more.
Men, it's our time to rise to another level at the 2020 Mentality Conference. Join us online September 11th and 12th for two power-packed days with three dynamic speakers.
When you see Him, you will see His righteousness. When you see His righteousness, you will see your sin, and it will leave you no other choice but to put your faith in the finished works of Christ.
See, the more that you become you, the less things you entertain, because you are on a mission.
When you find the will of God for your life, it's the greatest, most peaceful adventure that you'll ever have.
We will get raw and uncut and receive real life resolutions at the 2020 Mentality Conference. You don't want to miss out on this revival of manhood. Mark your calendars and register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
want to extend a special thanks to those of you out there who are committed to giving into our international efforts. Those of you who sow precious seeds into this ministry, help us with our global missions all over this world. This year, we partner with organizations all over the world to help rescue human trafficking victims, build irrigation systems, and support orphanages, schools, and homes for the elderly. Meeting the physical and spiritual needs of hurting people opens the door to share the gospel of grace with them. Thank you for helping us minister to people everywhere, and may God bless you.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
There is a purpose for your life, and you are meant to do great things. The key to reaching your destiny is to grow in your understanding of God's grace. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings from Creflo Dollar. For one low monthly subscription, you'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. In as little as 15 minutes a day, you can study God's Word, be encouraged, and learn how to study the Bible, how to overcome fear, how to better your relationships, and so much more. And the best news, it's free for 30 days. Now is the time for you to take control of your life and join Grace Life Academy. Text GLA to 51555 to get started right now, or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.